Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, as autumn rolls in, a new flu vaccine is available for those at risk. But should we also be getting the COVID boosters or pay for the shingles vaccine? And can the rollout of the chickenpox vaccine for babies wipe out an illness that many of us took for granted in childhood? To answer all of these questions and more, I'm joined by the Chair in Comparative Immunology and biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin, Cliona O'Farrelly. How are you keeping?
Great, thanks, Derval.
Listen, do we still need to get the COVID jab and how effective is it?
Well, first of all, it has been a wonder. I mean, if we think about what happened in North Italy and in New York right at the beginning of the epidemic and the numbers of people who died and those piled up coffins, we think that the vaccine has saved literally millions of lives. So it has been an astonishing story. So it is amazingly effective. At the moment, now that because most of us have been vaccinated, the disease is usually, if anybody does get infected, the vaccine protects against death and against illness, but not necessarily against infection, which is...
Yeah, so it is. It doesn't stop the infection, but it does protect you against illness. And initially, people would have been dying from COVID. Some people die with it, sadly, and others don't get sick at all. Obviously, we have moved on, and we know that viruses mutate. If you had three or four vaccine boosters in the past few years, are we still protected, or do we need to get the latest variant?
We are recommended, especially those of us who are older. I'm 68, so I'm definitely going to get it. So people who are vulnerable and who are older are strongly recommended to get it because, as you say, different variants emerge. And so it's really important that we keep up whatever protection is made available.
Yeah, and one of the things I just spotted a piece in the London Times this morning about how Andrew Wakefield became the architect of RFK Jr.'s autism agenda. There's a big piece in it. But one of the things we did see at the height of COVID and subsequently was a lot of disinformation, misinformation. But there are some communities who are naturally sceptical of official data. You know, if you came from the former Eastern, you know, European region, or if people don't trust institutions, including political and medical establishments. So how do you reach out to them?
Yeah, this is very difficult, and it's a huge issue. It's for democracy and as well as for health. And we just have to find new ways of talking with people who are nervous. And it's again completely understandable. Like I think you might be referring to
where things happened
in Romania. Yeah. Exactly. And so people, that's a little bit different to the misinformation. Distrust of institutes because of how people have been treated is a little bit different to the misinformation. And the misinformation pandemic, which is absolutely what I would call it, is a major threat, as I say, to our democracy and to our health. And so it's just really important. This is why programs like this are really useful, so that people get a chance to hear about the real data. And the real data tells us that vaccines have saved millions of lives.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously it is stress testing that public confidence. And in many ways, COVID, Cliona, was a test case of, well, look, this is what a new virus looks like before and after we develop a vaccine. And just looking at some of the data in Ireland, February 1st, 2021, 75 people here died from COVID. A year on, February 1st, 2022, virus still widespread, vaccines available, but because most people were vaccinated, only 9 people died. But is getting that information through that reality difficult to get that through to people? I'm thinking of the Tylenol debate recently in the US.
Yes, of course, and especially because at the moment nobody really wants to hear about COVID anymore, let alone the new pandemic that will definitely come down the road in the next 10 or 20 years. But the Tylenol story is a totally different issue and very mischievous, unfortunately precipitated by Trump claiming that he was going to be able to do something extraordinary about autism by September. And then they had to go looking. Of course, it's just so so hard to find out exactly why people get autism. You're not going to be able to find out in 6 months, and particularly if you're chopping research initiatives and research funding like is happening in the US. So struggling for some false explanation, like with the Tylenol, is, as I say, mischievous.
It can be a battleground, but I want to bring you back to flu because obviously that's something that has been with us all of our lives. Again, just come back to that yearly sort of update. How important is it to get that jab every year, or is it really only a concern for, again, those vulnerable groups, including healthcare workers and others?
Oh, well, really interesting. Flu is caused by a completely different virus to the SARS-CoV-2. SARS-CoV-2 is a coronavirus and different strains emerge. But the flu is an amazing virus that is able to change its coat protein every single year. So the vaccine that worked last year will not be as good against the one this year. So over in Europe, we take what has happened. It's wintertime over in Australia, and we look to see what the flu vaccine's coat looks like now and makes a vaccine against that. So it's to be strongly recommended that people get the flu vaccine every year.
Yeah, and just finally, Cliona, the shingles vaccine, it's not available on the public system yet, and it's quite costly if you want to source it privately.
It's outrageous. It's outrageous how expensive it is. And absolutely, again, this is another one we should absolutely be getting. I mean, it's eye-wateringly expensive. So I'd love to start a campaign, if you'd like to help, with bringing down the cost. Because not only does it, I mean, if anyone knows anybody who's had shingles, they know some people, again, like in other cases, have very mild disease. And but some get really serious disease. It really is terrible. And especially in older people, to get serious shingles is very debilitating. But even more exciting, Dervil, this shingles vaccine probably can help protect against dementia. There's amazing studies coming out saying that the virus, that herpes virus is associated, the response to it contributes to dementia in some people.
Yeah, so I think there was other research as well that had linked it between MS and the Epstein-Barr virus. So no doubt you'll be campaigning to get that the cost of that brought down. But for now, Professor Cliona O'Farrelly, Chair in Comparative Immunology and Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin, thanks for your time this morning. We'll take a break.